you here and look forward to our session today. I would like to say that this has been a long semester and it's almost done. So if we could begin with the information items for today. We have a modification to the Bachelor of Science in Exercise Science. It's a new specialization in orthotics and prosthetics. I believe Dan Goble is here, who maybe can share a little bit of information about this particular program. Dan, are you here?
Hi, Michelle. No, this is Deb Doherty.
Hi, Deb. Thank you.
Dan is not here today, so I'm filling in for Dan. Yes, we're very excited about this. This is a 26-credit specialization in orthotics and prosthetics for the Orthotics and Prosthetics Assistant Program, and it's part of the Bachelor of Science in Exercise Science. So we're just thrilled about it. There's a great need for this, and we were already, you know, looking at expanding it from here, but this will be great for not only people that are interested in the orthotics and prosthetics assistant program, but also it's a great background for pre-PT students as well. So I would welcome any questions that anybody might have.
Does anyone have any questions for Deb? All right, I'm not hearing any, Deb. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Michelle.
All right, next is a change to the evaluation of international credits for students admitted under articulation agreements with international partners. And we have Beth Zhu here from the School of Engineering and Computer Science. Beth?
Hello, everyone. This is Beth Zhu. Here I'm presenting a new proposal for the international credit transfer. And so the issue, I have a couple of slides. Forgive me for the very long wording here. I'll explain. So Zander, the next slide, please. Okay, so the issue raised from our recent ABET accreditation. So when the ABET visitors came to us and then they reviewed some of our student transcripts, they found a problem, especially for the international students from Changchun University of Technology. And in their transcript, they don't have 32 credits of math and science, which is required by our bachelor program. So ABET actually required a minimum of 30 credits of math and science. They don't even have 30 in their transcript. So they pointed out that those students didn't meet our degree requirement, but we let them graduate. So this violates the ABET criteria. So the reason behind that is because when those students transfer to Oakland, we calculate their transfer credit in a way that they get reduced credits. So the, you know, for example, if they have a 4-credit math course, when they transfer to Oakland right now, we only give them 3.8 credits. So then our next slide, please. So the current practice for the international students, we require the transcript evaluation by a third party agent, right? But for student coming to Oakland with an articulation requirement agreement, we found, you know, there some kind of differences in the evaluation. For example, for students took the same course in the same institution, when they are evaluated, the 4-credit course can come back to us from anywhere between 1 to 4. So this is very confusing to the students. Then a few years ago, we decided to do the credit audit internally. the register office, actually, they get a training from ACRO. And we use the ACRO methodology to count or to calculate the transfer credits. So what we use is that we look at the full-time credit loads at Oakland and also at our partner universities. We use a ratio to modify the transfer credits. So the student from, for example, from CCUT, their full-time status credits, it's more than what we have at Oakland. So the ratio actually right now, based on the data, the ratio is 0.77. So when a full credit at CCUT, when they transferred to Oakland, they got 3.08. But the problem is that the students at CCUT, the course they took is exactly as what we have at Oakland, because they adopted our curriculum. So they use the same syllabus, they use the same textbook. So the contents, they are exactly the same as what we teach at Oakland. So ABET, we explain this to ABET. We say that actually these courses, they are equivalent, but ABET kind of agree upon that based on the evidence we provide to them, but they don't buy the credits reduction. They said that if these two courses are equivalent, why you cannot give the equivalent credits to the students? So this is unfair to the students. So next, please. So based on that, we are proposing a new policy when we calculate the credits, the transfer credits. So instead of looking at the full-time credit hours, we look at the actual contact hours. So at Oakland, we define one credit hour is equivalent to 50 minutes of instruction time plus 2 hours of outside class, practice time. So we will look at the actual contact hours at our partner university, and then also the contact hours at Oakland. So we use that ratio to evaluate the transfer credits. So the new formula will be the number of contact hours per credit at partner university over the number of the contact hours per credit at Oakland, then times the number of credit in a given course at the partner university. So if they have a full credit course, and then if their contact hours are the same as what we have, then we will give them 4 credits when they transfer to Oakland. So this would solve the problems for the student under the articulation agreements. Of course, regarding to the course contents, we still will do the same practice. We will send the course to the department. For example, if it is a math course, we will send it to a math department for evaluation regarding to the contents and make sure that the contents are equivalent to OU course contents. By doing that, when we sign the articulation, we will ask our partner universities to provide the contact hours information on that. So the next slide will show you there's a template. We will put it in the agreement, and from any partner university, they will let us know how many minutes of contact hours, classroom hour time, and also how many weeks they meet per semester. So based on that, we will calculate the contact hours. So this proposal has been discussed and approved by the SECS, UGCC, and also we presented to UKUI and approved by UKUI already. So today we would like to present it as an informational item to the Senate. Thank you.
Thank you, Beth. Are there any questions for Beth? When we discussed the School of Engineering and Computer Science, site visit outcomes. This was the one item that was brought up by the accreditors. And they actually asked us why we were shooting ourselves in the foot and not recognizing this. They thought that our process was actually working against we were working against ourselves in this process. And I should also say that at the time, we also asked engineering about student outcomes, and they were, you know, they were saying that the outcomes from these students were that they were doing fine regardless, but they knew that they were receiving the same course content across the two institutions. So I do want to thank our colleagues in the School of Engineering and Yukui, Ann Hitt and the registrar for working on this and finding a solution in a timely way, because there is a deadline for responding to the site visit report. So I'm sure that that we'll be happy to have this one beyond us. And I do want to congratulate the School of Engineering and Computer Science on an overall very excellent outcome from their accreditation work. Good, great work.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Not hearing any other questions, we'll
Michelle?
Oh, I'm sorry, Ron?
Yes. Doesn't this speak to the fact that maybe many of our 4-credit courses are actually 3-credit courses?
I don't know that that's true, Ron, because they're comparing contact hours. Now they'll be comparing contact hours.
Yeah, but we don't have the same number of weeks, as you know. Mm-hmm. And that is the issue. Just throwing it out.
Yeah, total number of contact hours though should offset weeks, right?
Well, if we multiply by 13 and not 15, yeah.
This is Anne. I don't know how I can raise my hand.
You can't.
I can't. Okay, then I can't. So, but I just like to say that that the weeks, actually they have more contact hours than we do by a little bit, because they have a 16-week semester versus our 15-week. So actually it's very, very close to the same as our 4-credit courses.
And we don't really have 15 weeks unless you count finals week. And even then in the fall, that's not true.
Well,
we don't have to go into it now. I just threw this out as an issue. And certainly Michelle has heard it in steering from me repeatedly.
And Ron, all I will tell you is that we are consistent with HLC requirements in that regard. And so we will continue to monitor it, however.
Yes.
And I would just like to point out to people that you can raise your hand by clicking on the participants list. And down at the bottom is a raise hand, a yes, no, go slower, go faster. So it is there. You just have to, every place puts it in a slightly different location. So that's where it is in Zoom. All right, thank you, Ron. Thank you, Beth. So the next item is a change to the competency credit policy. And this item is being presented by Matt Zeig and John Sebelek.
Thank you, Michelle. I'll wait for Xander to get the presentation up. Thank you. Yes, this is the presentation we presented to Yukui just a couple weeks ago. John in my office, who's one of my transfer articulation specialists who helped a lot with it, was unable to make it. So I will be flying solo today. So if you can go to the next slide for me. And what we're basically presenting is just accepting the DSST exam as part of credit. So it's a prior learning assessment, just like other learning assessments that we accept, the advanced placement, AP or International Baccalaureate IB that traditionally high school students have, as well as the CLEP exam. So the DSST will have content in business, humanities, math, physical science, social science, as well as technology. Next slide, please. $85. Nice cost if the student has the knowledge to test out of something. As you can see, multiple people, different types of folks can take the exam. It was mainly meant for military personnel until that changed later on. And now basically anyone can take it. Next slide. Now, if you're thinking, is Matt bringing a very new concept to Senate? I am not. 1,900 educational institutions already do accept this in all 50 states. As you can see, some of our MASU institutions that take it, Fair State, Grand Valley State, Lake Superior State, and always our good partner, Michigan State. There are some community colleges that take it. I'd like to point out Macomb Community College. They're one of our largest transfer partners. So accepting this will hopefully help students transition from Macomb over to Oakland if they do have that exam, as well as some other Michigan four-year institutions. Next slide, please. And if you go out to American Council of Education ACE website, this is what you'll see. This is the information provided to us in regards to what is offered. And when you click in each link, you'll give a description of what the exam is about, all the information, as well as recommendation. You can see on the far right column, it is recommended for 3 credits, and typically that's going to be a score of 400, which follows consistently with what the other institutions are doing as well. Before we went to UCUE to present this, we wanted to make sure there was some faculty reviewing some of the exams, just so we know faculty did support this. We went to Criminal Justice Communications and Psychology, our traditional faculty advisors who help us with our transfer evaluation courses, and all three of them said definitely college level credit, and then some of them even gave direct equivalencies to some of their courses. Next slide, please. And just how it will benefit students, again, just highlighting cheaper, $85. Again, it can help with major requirements as well as gen ed or just even free electives. So we'll jump on to the next slide. And here is one example. Since we don't code this right now, it was very hard to know if there are others, but we were able to find one student. So these are all the exams that were taken. You can see a mixture of the numbers. The DSST exam has been going through kind of a numbering change. So if we're just to focus on the exams that had the 400 as the benchmark, you'll see that the student did pass some of them and didn't pass the other ones. You can see the ACE recommended minimum test requirement as well as the amount of credit. So that is what it would kind of look at. When we're looking at how many students we'll see, it probably won't be many. Michigan State got back to us. They said they awarded one student in the past 5 years credit for the DSST. And then Grand Valley State, who has probably the most robust offering of credit for the DSST, they handled about 35 students, about 70 courses. No time frame, so I'm going to say probably in the past 5 to 10 years. Next slide. And we'll go on to the next slide. So how is the current policies impacted? As you can see, not much. We're just basically adding that we would accept DSST credit as well. You can see the amount of credits is still staying at 60. We're just now allowing the DSST to count towards that. And if we go to the next slide and then jump one more for me, you'll see this is the language that we plan on using to put into the catalog that would highlight the DSST exam. And I'll be very honest with you, I basically copied the CLEP language and just replaced CLEP with DSST. You'll see the institutional information has changed, and then the highlighted part, there's no highlighted part, but the part I want to highlight is you can see the score of 400 or above. With that, that is my quick presentation for everyone if anyone has any questions regarding this.
Are there questions?
I have a question. This is Sumi, Matt. Is there other subjects a student can take the exam, like health-related subjects or biosciences and things like that?
Yes. The screenshot that you saw was just only one page. There are many more exams. So basically, you know, since UCUE approved it, as long as no one has an issue from Senate, myself and John C. Black will start reaching out to all the other faculty members who would be in charge of the different subject areas. Regarding this, and there are a variety of them. I don't know off the top of my head how many health-related ones there are, but if not, that's where the CLEP exam could come in, which does have some of those.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for the question, Sumi. Other questions? All All right. I want to thank Matt and John for their work on this. And again, Yukui for their work and looking at this in a deeper way. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. So I have a few updates. First, I want to let you know that we did send a message out about Winter 21 yesterday. And, you know, I would just like to make sure everyone here understands that we are essentially approaching Winter 21 the way we've approached fall, with the exception of the fact that we are going to delay the start of in-person classes for 2 weeks. We will be having them meet, but meet online. The reason for this, I think you can look around and you know, with what's happening in the hospitals, with the state of COVID in Michigan, this seems to be the prudent action. I also want to make sure that you all realize that as we are looking forward, you know, toward that January 19th start date for in-person, that we will be evaluating the current conditions following the return to campus in January. So, when we're back on January 4th, we will be monitoring what's happening in the state. We obviously are paying very close attention to any updates we're receiving from the state of Michigan, the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services, the governor, and we may have to update that guidance for when in-person will start, but we're hoping to be able to start any in-person courses in person on January 19th, the second week of class. So I am very anxious to see how things go over the holiday, and we will certainly be keeping you informed as we move forward. I think I saw something from Karen Miller on testing. The information has gone out to the dorm students, and I don't have the specific dates and times. Is Michael Wadsworth here or somebody from the Dean of Students office? I'm looking. I don't see that Michael is here, but the students coming back into the dorms will be tested. The additional week certainly helps us them by allowing them to move in a little more slowly. They also, I think we allowed them to get tested before they came here in the fall semester. So Graham Health is working on that and will, Claudia has chimed in, January 6th through 12th and January 19th through 21. So there you go. That's an easier explanation. Thank you. The next thing I wanted to give you an update on a couple of other things happening at the state level. First of all, we do anticipate another announcement from the governor in the next 48 hours. Pay attention to notices of news conferences, because there is some thinking that she will have more to say about universities, but we are hoping that the that our communications, this entire state of Michigan, that all the colleges and universities have been providing information to the governor. And so we're hoping that that she'll continue to allow individual institutions to determine what works best for their student population and their faculty and staff. We will let you know if that changes anything that we do, but we're hopeful that we'll be able to continue with our plans as we've currently articulated them. We are still anticipating action on Dodge Hall. We have been told that that is has been recommended by the, both the governor's staff, budget office, but also we have support on the committees, but the vote just hasn't taken place yet. So we're got our fingers crossed on that one. And I, the other piece of news, and I don't know whether you've been following this, but there have been over the years, a number of attempts by community colleges to be allowed to offer the Bachelor of Science in Nursing degree. And the effort this year actually got a little further than was comfortable. There are a number of issues with this happening, not the least of which is that the nursing programs have serious concerns about the impact that that would have on their ability to hire faculty, to have clinical placements. So there's been a fairly robust effort in Lansing to try to head this off. What I understand is that it's probably not going to be successful this time around, even though it did get out of committee, but is likely to come back in January. And so we will continue to monitor that and work to try to make certain that we are completely capable of serving the state in terms of providing nursing degrees. And that expanding that to community college is not necessarily in the best interest of the state. And finally, just in terms of other issues that are COVID related, I wanna thank my colleagues in the AAUP for raising concerns about faculty access to hardship funds. They raised the question to President Peskovitz. We were able to identify that a fund was available to provide relief to faculty. There is an employee hardship fund that has actually received some fairly nice gifts over the last week, and actually week and a half probably. An announcement I think went out today. And there's a link in that announcement to the University Human Resources website where you will find the process for making an application and for and what the criteria are. It is available for childcare. And so if you know of individuals who have been struggling, this fund is open for them. It is the Employee Hardship Fund. In February, there will be a day of giving, and the Oakland University Credit Union will be matching gifts up to $1,000, dollar for dollar. And so if you're so inclined and have the capability and want to give, this would be one of the funds you could give to in addition to other funds. But I know that this has been something that has been on people's minds. And so I hope that you'll take a look at that and and help us get the word out, because it's kind of late in the year. But we want people to know that it's there and that it is available for faculty and staff. All right, I think those are my updates for now. And I'll have a moment under good and welfare. So let's go to the next section of the agenda. I think we have roll call. Deke, have you been able to identify who's here?
Yes, we have that wonderful list now. And when people enter the meeting, then it's recorded. And so I know we have a quorum, so everything's good to go around here.
All right, thank you, Dicka.
Michelle, I think Sumi raised his hand.
Oh, Sumi, I'm so sorry.
No problem, Michelle. I had a question for you or a suggestion. Due to this online teaching or remote teaching, as you know, faculty have to switch and they are going through also hardship. Some of the faculty has to also instruct their children. during this time, and particularly my female colleagues juggling the household and also children and grading. Is there any way we can get the weekend extension till Monday? Because I'm sure a lot of people are grading, writing intensive classes, and it's very difficult to grade in Moodle for a constant time. And I brought it up to my associate dean that I was going to ask you, and I think other chairs or faculty feel the same way. I know we have a AUP contract, which is 48 hours, which falls tomorrow or tonight.
Yeah, I think that, Sumi, that there are some issues potentially with that. I am not aware of what all of them are, but I do know one of them runs into a financial aid eligibility for next semester. Tricia, I see that you're here. Is there any thing that you can say about this? Because I know it also impacts your office.
Yes, I definitely understand. I mean, this is definitely a time where we are all tight. Next week, we have 2 business days to process prereq drops before next semester. We have 3 working days until winter semester starts, even though it's a couple weeks away, financial aid, graduation audits, and things like that. So definitely it would reduce us down to 1 business day if we delayed grading until Monday. It would allow 1 business day for advisors and for a lot. As an update, as of 12:30 today, we had about 15,000 outstanding grades. So we have definitely made a lot of good progress with grading, and I appreciate that. I know this is difficult. I wish we had unlimited time that we could give. It just puts a different time crunch on other business processes that need to occur once the grades roll.
How about Saturday, 10 o'clock? Is that possible? The weekdays may be difficult for some faculty to make it 10 o'clock Friday morning instead of if it goes to Saturday, 10 o'clock, is it going to interfere with your processing?
It would basically require financial aid to work on Saturday to do the student academic progress to degree, the registrar's team. It would just require us to work on Saturday. It would be a regular business day for us.
So Sumi, I think that what I would say to you is that I would, encourage you to talk to the dean if you or your colleagues are having difficulty, and we'll work, we'll talk to, we'll do some consulting around here, but I don't feel comfortable saying that we can do that without really knowing the full impact, and it clearly does have impact on those offices and our ability to, the kinds of things that we need to do are really things that the students need us to do as well. So I would send you back to your dean at this point if you if you know of particular issues, and see if there's some other creative ways that we can help get that done.
I'm just gonna say that I'm listening, so happy to help. Thank you, Kevin.
Yeah, and Kevin, I'm not sure that I have a solution, but I'd be happy to chat with you about it as well, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Thank you, Sumi. All right, so we have the approval of the minutes for November 19th, 2020. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
I move they be approved.
Second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Getting those mics unmuted is sometimes a challenge. All right. Are there any corrections? All right. Seeing none and hearing none. Would you please indicate your approval by checking on the green X? If you're not in participants, if you haven't clicked on participants, you need to do that.
We have 47 yes, 0 no.
Thank you very much. The minutes are approved. All right, we'll move on to our unfinished business. So we have a motion, the motion that's on the floor from the Graduate Council to update the graduate English language proficiency policy. Is there any further discussion about this item? Okay, I'm not seeing any hands. Are we ready to move to a vote?
Yes, this is Tom DeSena. Move that the Senate approve the updated graduate English language proficiency policy.
Okay.
I'll second. Holly Borif Jones seconded, I think.
All right. Then I will call the question and say all in favor. Click your green yes. All opposed. Click your red no.
Yes, 0 no.
All right, the motion carries. Thank you very much. We have no new business, so we'll move on to good and welfare. Are there any items for good and welfare? We sort of took care of one of those already. Is there anything else for good and welfare from the membership? Anne? Not member, but I'll, as chair, I'll recognize you.
Thank you. So we've talked about that the grades are due tomorrow at 10 a.m. I also just wanted to make sure that people know that students who receive an I grade will not be eligible for SU grading. And so I grades should be assigned only in accordance with our policy. So the student has to request it. It has to be that something terrible happened so that they can't complete the course. And then the final thing I'd like to mention is that it's very important that people enter the last date of participation or attendance in the class when they put in their grades. So just some brief reminders for right now. Thanks.
Thank you, Anne. Kevin Corcoran has his hand up.
I have a quick question for Anne. I grades cannot be converted to SU as long as they're I, correct?
As long as they're
an I grade. So in other words, if the work got completed in the next 2 weeks and it got converted to a grade, it could then become an SU if the student requested it by the 11th.
I believe so. I'm talking mostly about those I grades that occur and aren't resolved until the month.
I just wanted to make sure that was clear.
Yes, and there is one other thing about the I grades that it's important to know is, and I don't know that this is the case, but if there was a reason that a faculty member could not complete the course because of illness or something, Trisha's group worked with faculty and students last summer, so the students were able to get an I grade if it was due to something on Oakland's part that the course couldn't be completed. So I hope that makes sense.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you both. Anything else from anyone else? Well, then I see Mike Long.
Yes. What about P grades?
Anne?
What about them?
Yeah.
Can you get an S or U later on if you have a P grade for this term?
So P grades mean progressing, and typically that's for a course that is going to be finished, I think, within like the next semester. And because in winter 2021, I believe we also are set to have SU grading available, the grade would be submitted next semester sometime, and then that person, I think with a P grade, they would be eligible. But Trisha's really the one that knows the ins and outs. And so hopefully she'll weigh in case I said it wrong.
Trisha, do you wanna say anything?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, generally what we're looking for is not to have this an open-ended window to go on and on. However, please reach out. If there's a certain situation or a certain student, the way that we've designed the form, we've worked with UTS, it's going to look for specifically this semester and next semester only. But if there's a situation outside of that, you can work with us directly for that purposes. Hopefully, because they're getting a P, they're making good progress, and the outcome will be satisfactory, and it won't even, you know, a positive outcome, a grade, a letter grade, and everything will be fine. But if something else happens, just reach out to me.
Thank you, Mike. I hope that answered your question. All right. I'm looking.
Hello, it's Kevin Ball. Why don't you just
go ahead?
So, Michelle, this is a December meeting. It's we're soon to welcome a new provost, Britt Rios Ellis, in January. You have been serving in this function for our Senate as the interim provost for the past number of months. One would have to wonder what you were thinking. We were in the middle of a pandemic. We were struggling, as all of us were, and you smiled and said, yes, I'll take it on. I'll step up. I will be the interim provost. And not only did you do an outstanding job of stepping into that role for all of us, but you did more than an outstanding job. You've given us confidence. You've given us organization. You've carried things along absolutely beautifully. So a real toast to you. Thank you for everything you've accomplished with us. And we really have greatly enjoyed working with you. So thank you, Michelle. It's been terrific.
This is Leila Gassous from Mechanical Engineering. And I definitely want to second what Kevin said. Michelle, I think you've done a great job. Really, thank you for what you've done. And I have to say, I enjoyed receiving, when we received the provost messages, the provost updates, there's the way they were written, you could sense that there was a sense of care in there and the tone of them. And I really appreciated that. So thank you, Michelle. I think you did a great job.
Thank you.
This is Eddie Chen speaking. I encourage everyone to press the thumbs up button on the on the emoji list.
Thank you guys. That is so nice of you to say, and I truly have, I don't know whether you realize that I've enjoyed doing this. I've enjoyed going through mutual problem solving with you. And I want to thank all of you, because this job can be harder and it can be easier. And you have made it easier because you've committed to open communication. We have been really working well, I think, as a team. And if we do that, we will always overcome any obstacles that get in our way. So my thanks, heartfelt thanks, really, to every single one of you. So I can't say how much, I wish I could say it's been completely fun, but there have been moments of joy. And and there have been a few moments where we've been tearing our hair out, but we've made it through. So, you know, and that is, again, is because of all of you. So thank you so, so much. And I'm seeing all these messages coming in. So thank you. I'll ask to see the list because I don't think I can read them all before we're going to be done here. So I did notice, and I can't say thank you enough, but I did notice that Laszlo had his hand up, and I want to make sure that we get his question in, or good and welfare item in, before we do anything else. Laszlo?
Yes, just to clarify, the last attendance date is only for students who fail a course. Is that correct?
Anne, is that correct? The last date of attendance? Or is it just this, they would fail if they hadn't shown up and hadn't dropped, right?
Yes, that's my understanding. But it's important to enter that because that can impact if they're responsible for tuition or not. If they never showed, it's different. I believe it's handled differently.
Yeah, it does matter for financial aid, and that's really one of the places that we worry about. So, and Laszlo, if you get down to a specific student with a specific case, I'm sure that Tricia would be happy to clarify with you or somebody from her team.
No, that was my understanding that the system actually forces you to enter a last date of attendance at this point.
Yes. That's my understanding as well, but I haven't graded anything for a little bit. You've done it more recently, so.
Yes, and if I could just expand a little bit, here's what really helps us with that. So this is the perfect opportunity for me to say this to all of you and to please share this with other faculty. If you enter that date, it helps us to identify students that maybe never attended. We do a record cleanup so that we don't have to send them out to collections and things like that. And so that date is very meaningful in terms of financial aid, an accurate date. And so if they never attended, putting that in for the F grades or their last known date of attendance is always going to help provide information to our office. And it is something that we rely and appreciate. Many of you have probably received an email from my team asking when was the last date of attendance. And so we're using that to help with the students and so that they don't have that financial burden moving forward. So we appreciate all of you for taking that time. It's used, it's important, it's helpful. It's one of the best things you can do for a student.
Thank you, Tricia. And thank you for raising the question, Laszlo. So unless there is anything else, I would entertain a motion for adjournment and wish you all a happy and restful break. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So move.
A second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
I'll assume it's acclamation.
You assume correctly.
All right. Have a good break, everyone. Thank you for all your hard work.
Good to do, Michelle.
Thanks.